famous Final Hour free-for-all.
And thank you, Scott Shannon. Hello, how are you? Welcome aboard. Thank you for tuning in. This is where we have made you a promise, and that is the best, the hardest hitting, the most comprehensive news and information available on your radio dial. Now more than ever, together, 3 hours a day, every day is all we ask. He's agreed to do this program once a month. We hold him to it. He's keeping his pledge. Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut is with us. How are you, Senator?
Sean, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, listen, before we get into all the stuff that we need to talk about,
yeah.
And there's a lot of news here.
Yeah.
I need to know yes or no.
Yes.
Do you want my public support? Do you want my endorsement? Do you think that hurts your re-election efforts? Do you want me to come out in opposition of you? I want to do what's in your best interest. You got to tell me what you want me to do.
Well, you know, it's good of you to ask me in private like this.
I'm thinking Hannity conservatives for Lieberman, and I'll do a big fundraiser in Connecticut.
Let me just say, I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate your support. Really.
You want my endorsement?
What could I? If you support me, look, I've always gotten elected by people from all parties.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a Democratic primary against me, which there might be, I might ask you to come in and endorse my opponent.
If you want me to do it, I'll do it. And by the way, I was mad at you at Alito, and one day I'm going to pull you aside.
Yeah.
And I believe in my heart. I really believe in my heart that if the president really needed your vote, you would have been there.
Well, okay, you pull me aside and we'll talk.
All right. You don't want to answer that publicly, do you?
No, because I voted no.
I know you voted no, but
I did vote against the filibuster because I thought that, it was time to move on.
Yeah. But are you concerned at all about your political situation? You are going to have a primary, it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically from folks in the Democratic Party who are obviously angry at me about the war and also don't like the fact that, you know, sometimes I work across party lines, but that's because that's what you do to get something done. And, you know, I just don't think every issue has to be taken as a partisan issue. But I'm taking it. There's not a declared candidate. There's a guy from Greenwich who's looking at it, and I'm taking it seriously. It's a privilege to be a United States senator, and it's nothing, you know, that comes as a grant. So you got to earn it every time you run, and I'm ready to go out and fight for it.
You know, the problem is because I really respect your understanding of the greatest issue of our time, which is the war on terror.
Right.
And you've had frankly, your support has been very critical for the president in a lot of key moments here. And I know you've taken a lot of opposition for it.
Yeah.
I do have my disagreements with you, Senator Lieberman. Let not your heart be troubled. I promise I'll oppose you at times.
All right, this is good. This will make our relationship all the more credible.
Well, it will, but I admire...
That's natural, Sean. And, you know, that's what I say. Just because I disagree with the president on A, B, and C, if I agree with him on the war on terrorism, why would I not support him because he happens to be the other party? That's not right. That's not good for the country.
All right, you have these hearings going on today with FEMA. Let me play a cut of this. I want to get your reaction to it.
All right.
What do you want me to say? I have admitted to mistakes publicly. I've admitted to mistakes in hearings. What more, Senator Coleman, do you want from me?
Well, I think...
What do you want from me? I'm asking you. What do you want from me?
I'm saying that, in fact, no leadership makes a difference. You didn't provide the leadership, even with structural infirmities. Strong leadership can overcome that, and clearly that wasn't the case here.
Well, Senator, that's very easy for you to say, sitting behind that dais and not being there in the middle of that disaster, watching that human suffering and watching those people dying and trying to deal with those structural dysfunctionalities even within the federal government. And I absolutely resent you sitting here saying that I lack the leadership to do that, because I was down there pushing everything that I could. I've admitted to those mistakes, and if you want something else from me, put it on the table and you tell me what you want me to admit to.
A little more candor would suffice. Thank you, Madam.
How much more candor? What more? Ask me the question, Senator. Ask me the question.
Thank you. I think my time is up. Thank you, Madam.
I got very heated. You're on the committee. You were there today.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Dramatic moment. That was Norm Coleman, my colleague, friend from Minnesota. And look, Michael Brown admitted some mistakes, but he took a lot more credit than unfortunately he deserves. And I do want to say that any attempt to describe the failures of the federal government just as a result of Michael Brown's failures doesn't say enough. There was failures all across the federal government. I do want to tell you that the next time I got a chance to question, I did exactly what Norm Coleman didn't have the time to do. And I said, here's a specific case. Yesterday we had General Bennett Landrieu, who's the Adjutant General of the National Guard in New Orleans and in Louisiana. He said to us, testified that on Monday, after the hurricane hit landfall, they realized a lot of people couldn't get out of the city, and they pleaded with FEMA for buses. Michael Brown told them, we're going to send you 500 buses, and you can. If they had gotten them, a lot of those people who were who shocked and broke our hearts and embarrassed us, really, in the Superdome and Convention Center would have been taken out of the city. Yeah. The buses don't come Monday night. They don't come Tuesday. The general keeps asking FEMA. We find the first formal request from FEMA to the Federal Department of Transportation for the buses about 1:45 a.m. Wednesday morning. They finally start coming Wednesday night, and most of them come Thursday morning. So I said to Michael Brown today, how could this have happened? And he said, Senator, I tried my best. I just couldn't make it happen. There were nights that I went to my hotel room and cried because I couldn't get people to do what I wanted to do. But, you know, that's just unacceptable.
Well, look, like everything else, Senator, I mean, I actually have a whole series of quotes here in front of me.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the day after the hurricane hit, he blamed Bush and the CO2 gases and the not supporting the Kyoto Accord. Yet Paul Begala said, well, the money was spent to fund Iraq. Ted Kennedy said Bush is the one who poisoned the air and water. Here's what bothers me about this whole thing. The government made terrible mistakes.
Correct.
But for 35 years, New Orleans knew this was coming. They had 1,000 school buses sitting 5 feet away from them, and the governor and the mayor didn't have enough sense to go put a key in it, get 1,000 drivers, and help these people out that needed help.
Yeah, there can't be scapegoat. You know, listen, some people are trying to scapegoat Michael Brown. Some people are trying to scapegoat President Bush. The reality is two things. One is that the tragedy of Hurricane Katrina was a result of a failure of government at all levels, federal, state, and local, to do what was necessary to prepare and respond and rescue. And it goes back, as you say, in our history. This was no shock. I mean, it was predicted for years. There was a mock hurricane exercise a year before Katrina called Hurricane Pam, which told every agency, state, federal, and local, that they weren't ready for it. They had to do this and that. They didn't do it. The weekend before, Dr. Mayfield, the Weather Service hurricane forecaster, is telling not just the inside the government, but the whole world on radio and television, this is the big one, and we didn't get it together. It's a sad story, and it's particularly sad because we created the Department of Homeland Security after 9/11 to make sure we were more ready in a disaster, and it's just a big warning. I think they're taking steps to fix it, and that's what's important.
I want to move on, Senator,
yes.
If I can. If you're just joining us, Senator Joe Lieberman is with us from Connecticut. I want to get into the issue of these cartoons and the world reaction to the cartoons about the Prophet Muhammad. You had the leader of Hezbollah, a terrorist organization, speaking in front of a crowd of about 700,000 people, telling the world that George Bush and Condoleezza Rice should shut up. He went on to say they'll continue to defend the right all over the world. We will uphold the messenger of God not only by our voices but by our blood, he said, which I guess is an advocation of the violence that has ensued.
Right.
People have died, an embassy has been burned, and all sorts of violent protesting has taken place. Between that and the election of Hamas, how concerned are you?
I'm real concerned, Sean, and look, you know, looking back, I know you agree with this, a lot of warnings during the decade, the 90s, of Osama bin Laden and the rise of radical Islamist terrorism. They actually hit us a few times, as we know, at Khobar Towers and USS Cole and the embassies in Africa. Then 9/11 is the wake-up call. We declare the formal war on terrorism. I think sometimes people in the rest of the world, including particularly Europe, felt that somehow it wasn't them, it was us. But this, if you look at what's happened with the fanatic who's now in charge of Iran and the election of Hamas and the violent overreaction to these cartoons, we are in a war with people who have a very different view of the world and of life. But the cartoon was offensive. I mean, President Bush said that. Secretary Rice said that.
I think it was. I understand people being angry over it, but you know something, Senator Lieberman, I have in front of me
yeah.
a whole series of cartoons that have appeared in some of the Arab newspapers.
Right.
You can go to the Jewish Center for Public Affairs. They have a website, jcpa.com, and they have anti-Semitic cartoon after anti-Semitic cartoon that appeared.
Yeah, the most grotesque. And so, you know, you want to be consistent about it. If you're offended by a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad, you ought to apologize for the terrible caricatures of Jews and Christians that appear, unfortunately, regularly in newspapers, some of which have direct government sponsorship, newspapers in Islamic countries. But it's an offensive cartoon. In a free country, you believe people have a right to be offensive. What they don't have a right to do is respond to that with violence, as has happened in all these countries. And, you know, these are the moments when, you know, the triumph of evil only happens because good people remain silent. And where are the good people? You want to hear from the good people in the Islamic world.
I agree with you. And, Senator, this is why I am very appreciative of the positions you've taken in the war on terror in the last number of years. And I know you've taken a lot of political heat from it, from within your party. You've heard Howard Dean's comments about you, for crying out loud. I mean, he could barely come out and support you.
Yes.
And, you know, Karl Rove said that Democrats have a pre-9/11 worldview. And he said it doesn't make them unpatriotic, but it makes them wrong.
Yeah.
Deeply, profoundly, consistently wrong. And I think the latest example of this is we can kill members of Al-Qaeda, but we've got Democrats up in arms over the idea that if Al-Qaeda calls into the United States from an outside country, that, we better get a court order to listen to them. It's absurd to me.
Yeah, here's where this may not be a big disagreement. I totally want those programs to go on. I think in America we don't like to give authority without some minimal screen. And, you know, it was very interesting at the Judiciary Committee hearings this week. You had a bunch of Republicans, or I'd say conservative Republicans, like Lindsey Graham and Sam Brownback, saying, we got to figure out how to work on this. Nobody should want to stop this program. Nobody should even want to impede it, because we want to be listening to Al-Qaeda-related phone calls. We want to be reading their emails. But I think we want to work with the administration to come up with some kind of promise, not for almost for the future, that in our country, you know, you need some kind of court approval from a secret court, FISA court or something else. And I think we can work this one out. This is really an unnecessary debate and an unnecessary fight, and it distracts us from the war on terrorism.
The New York Times this week had a piece, and the headline was, "Some Democrats are sensing missed opportunities. Democrats heading into this year's elections are in a position weaker than they had hoped for, stirring concern that they are letting pass an opportunity to exploit what they have seen as widespread Republican vulnerabilities."
Yeah.
And it goes on, and it starts listing some of the Democrats that have become the most outspoken. And we saw, for example, during the Alito hearings, we saw Ted Kennedy and Biden and Chuck Schumer. Hillary Clinton is a loud voice for the Democratic Party these days, as is John Kerry. We saw, for example, the way the president was treated down at Coretta Scott King's funeral by Jimmy Carter. Do you fear that the Democratic Party has really been co-opted by a pretty hard left element?
Well, this is the great challenge to us. I mean, if Democrats ever want to get back in power, they're going to have to move back toward the center, and they're going to have to reassure the American people on the baseline question, which is what government, particularly the federal government, is about before anything else, which is security, that Democrats will use the power of our government to protect people's security in a dangerous age. Unless we do that, the public's never going to listen to us on everything else, including a lot of the stuff on which I think they agree with Democrats, like education, healthcare, etc. You know, I heard an interesting talk the other day by a guy named Marshall Whitman, who used to work for John McCain and is an independent, and he now works for the Democratic Leadership Council, that centrist group. And he said his advice to Democrats is, remember that there's a 22nd Amendment, and George W. Bush can't run for president again. So stop complaining and just focusing on this president. Come up with a positive program that'll give the American people something they affirmatively want to vote for, because there's no question. You read the polls, the president's down, congressional Republicans are down. But we've got to come up with a positive, constructive program, or else, and particularly on security, or we're not going to become a majority party again.
You know something? It's amazing. I say that on this program all the time, Senator Lieberman. No, but you know something? If they would listen to you, you would have real opportunity to get back into power. But thank God they're not listening to you. Your voice is not being heard. I don't anticipate it's going to be heard in the future. And the only hope for you is to just leave the party and become a good... See, I don't even consider... I'm re-registering as a conservative. I'm a Reagan conservative. So you can join the conservative movement with me, and we'll start a third party.
America may be ready for a third party, Sean.
An
independent party.
All right, last question. If you ever want me to do anything for you and your re-election, I think we ought to have Conservatives for Lieberman, a big fundraiser in Connecticut, and if I could ever do that, I'd make it the biggest blowout celebration ever.
Pal. You're a great guy. It'd just be fun to be with you. My daughters, my sons.
I don't know why they like me.
You know, you're a straight talker. That's one thing they like.
All right,
Senator. And you're good to their husband and father, so how could they not like you?
You're a great American,
you
Senator.
You too, pal. Bye-bye.
Senator Lieberman. Well, Hannity, you never liked Democrats. Yes, I do. I like Democrats. There's one good guy. We'll continue.